Good morning, everyone. My name is Kathleen, and I'm one of the house church leaders of First Street. And today I'll be leading the devotions. So let's open up our one Bible app, and we are on day 19 today. I'm going to open us with a prayer first. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you more profoundly, deeply, and wonderfully than I currently do. I am often constrained by fear, doubt, and insecurity. I make foolish choices to impress people rather than living for you and for your glory. Help me to love, trust, and obey you wholeheartedly. In your strong and eternal name, I pray. Amen. And today our scripture is on Mark 6, 14 to 29. So let's go to our scriptures. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some are saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with a request. "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. So going through this passage, there are basically two main parts. Up to here in Mark 6, Jesus has been performing miracles and going out just doing his ministries and healing people. And all of a sudden, now there's a little bit of snippet of talking about John. And in starting from verses 14 to 16, it mentioned about how people were curious of who is this Jesus. And some people were saying that, oh, he might be Elijah or prophets from, of before. And some said, including King Herod, was saying that, no, this was John the Baptist resurrecting. If it wasn't John the Baptist, he wouldn't have all these miraculous powers. And obviously for King Herod, because he had just killed John, so obviously the guilt or whatnot, immediately he was thinking about John. And the rest of the story basically was talking about how John was beheaded. So he was already arrested by King Herod at that time, and because of King Herod's wife, who held a grudge against him for calling him out for King Herod married his brother's wife, and it was unlawful. And John had the guts to call him out, but it brought him to prison. And then finally, there was an opportunity for King Herod to kill John. Basically, was because I think we know the story very well. So the daughter was dancing, and in front of the guest, he promised the daughter that, oh, you can ask for anything, and so she requested for John's head. Well, obviously, her mom asked her to do it, and so she did it, and that was how John was killed. So that's very quickly, going through the story. And I think reading this part, there are two reflections that came up for me. One was the first part of verses 14 to 16 of when it was talking about how people were curious of who Jesus was and asking who Jesus was. And I find that like pretty interesting how, why, for me, like, one of the questions that came up was, why was it that a lot of people were guessing, oh, was he Elijah or was he this or what he's that? But at that time in Jewish tradition, people knew the Messiah was going to be coming back. And it seemed like not a lot of people would come to the point where to say that right away he was the Messiah, but rather people were guessing, oh, was he this? Was he Elijah or was he John? And for me, it was a very, very interesting thought because I'm thinking about, oh, nowadays for us, could it be that sometimes like we also don't recognize our Messiah or we don't recognize Jesus in our day-to-day? And that's because I think that might be because of just expectations. At that time, I think Jews were expecting a Messiah that is very strong, a political leader, a military leader who would be able to deliver them from the Roman Empire. And so there was just a mismatch of expectations of who Jesus was and who this Messiah that they were hoping to come. And I think Jesus was quite the opposite of what they were looking for. Jesus was quite humble and very down to earth and low profile, but they wanted someone who were I guess strong, you know, who would be able to just fight the Roman Empire and deliver them. But and that makes me think that sometimes I guess like in our day to day we might have mismatch of expectations of who Jesus is and how Jesus works in our lives. And and sometimes we might not be able to recognize that that this is how what Jesus wants us to do, or this is how what Jesus wants us to do, including in maybe our ministries and the way we serve. Just thinking back of a time when maybe like there was a point of time when I was serving in some kind of ministries, and my focus, I guess, was on results, on say like, oh, how many people were joining this activity or program? And I remember doing like stats, like counting people that, oh, this year like 20 people came to the Christmas party, and then the next year was like 50 people, and then 100 people. So that was like my expectation of, oh, like the more the people are coming, and this is like, this must be God, this must be, you know, God at work. But rather, looking back of Jesus' ministry, he was doing a lot of one-on-one and healing and, you know, focusing on the heart, not so much on, you know, the outer result. And so that really humbled me and, made me realize that, oh, how we think of Jesus, you know, or even in our everyday life, you know, could it be that, like, you know, Jesus is, working in one way and not the way that we are hoping. So, who is Jesus, and do we recognize him? And then the second part, or another reflection that came, was more on King Herod. So we saw that he arrested John, but then it also said just now when we were reading that he actually respected John. And he was actually quite in awe of him because of his teachings, and he knew that like John had something that was quite different from other people. But then I think going through the passage, I saw that King Herod actually had quite a lot of fears, and so it made me think that, you know, so who do we fear? So obviously for King Herod, he feared quite a few people or things. So including, like I said, like John the Baptist, he feared him. He didn't like what he was saying. He put him in prison, but then he also didn't want to kill him because I'm guessing that he knew that, oh, this guy, you know, there's something about him. So, so the second thing, I think it was quite obvious that he also feared his wife, Herodias. He didn't want to, he didn't want to not follow his wife's will, because obviously his wife hated John, and wanted John dead. But then, I guess for King Herod, he was, you know, like kind of like in Cantonese, oh, 爬出来, I'm scared of you. So I'm just, okay, I'm just going to, you know, put you in prison and just shut up. And then the last fear that I saw from King Herod was the fear of losing face, because he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of the guests. He promises his daughter one thing, that, oh, I'll give you anything. And then when the daughter requests for John Baptist's head, so all of a sudden, I think he was in such a conflicted situation, because he also feared John, he also feared the, you know, losing face, and, you know, so I think eventually, looking at his actions, he chose to comply. He chose to kill John, and it made me realize that, you know, oh, it's quite, you know, it's quite absurd, actually, because he wasn't afraid to kill, you know, this person whom he deemed righteous and holy. But, you know, he rather kill someone who he deemed righteous and holy instead of, you know, standing up for it and you know, taking back his promise. And it made me think that, oh, actually, sometimes, like, you know, even for us, being able to recognize who Jesus is, or being able to recognize, like, what is right, this might not be enough, you know. Sometimes, like, it takes for us to really be able to recognize sin and want to repent from it and not follow sin in order for us to do something that is right. And also looking at the different fears that he had. You know, he feared everything except for fearing God, right? So, coming to looking into our own personal lives, you know, what are maybe some of our fears that we are facing today? A lot of times, like, maybe we fear the things that that are in this world more than that that's of God's kingdom. And just a personal sharing for me, what are some of my recent fears? A while back, I think end of last year, I actually lost my job. And it's quite scary, because especially during this time, I've lost jobs before, but not at a time when, oh, the market is so quiet. You know, I've never experienced this, where I've sent out like hundreds of CVs, and so far there's only been one interview out of all, you know, these applications. And it is quite a scary feeling, because it's not something that I could control, you know. It's kind of, I feel like, oh, I'm knocking on doors and you know, but then it's like, oh, nothing's coming back. And my challenge during this time, I feel like, you know, looking, also reflecting on this passage and what King Herod was doing, I feel like my challenge this time is to, like, I feel like God is challenging me to look at him, is, you know, to choose to fear God instead of fearing the circumstance that I'm in. You know, the reality is scary, but then God, you know, is above these realities, and it is above all of my situations. So I know that he is able to deliver me. He is able to help me. And but of course, when you are in this situation, which I am still in the situation now, it's not really easy to be able to say that, okay, God, I trust you, because sometimes, like, it's more realistic when you're looking at your bank account, right? So and also there's a verse which I really like in Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Let us just be reminded that you know, today, when we look at our lives, you know, are we choosing to fear God, or rather, are we choosing to fear our situation, or fear men or our wives? how do we choose, you know, what to fear? And let this be, you know, reminder to us all. So Can I ask the worship leader to help to come lead worship for us?
Thank you. Let's come forward for a time of prayer.